Hello, Geshe-la. Where are you? I'm trying to find you in my screen. Oh,
Hello, I'm good. With you?
Oh, good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Geshe-la, I hear it's quite cold where you are over on the other side of the world.
Yeah, it's starting to get cold now.
Though you look all toasty warm, we're all toasty warm here because it's summer and we've got the air conditioning on. So
Here, our heated. I've started to start the heating a couple of days ago.
it's just on 10 o'clock, Geshe-la. So I'd really like to welcome you and thank you very much for coming and teaching us online. Welcome to everybody who's managed to navigate our booking system and arrive at the teachings. That already shows some joyous perseverance right there. So we're at the beginning of three teachings with the wonderful Geshe Sherab. If you've got a package of the teachings, the whole information email will arrive sometime during today's teaching. So if you haven't got that package by the end of the teaching, then please email me because it's got all of the links to the catch-up sound files and the texts and everything like that. Of course, anybody, if you have any troubles at all, please put something into the chat or email me. I'll be checking them regularly and very happy to help. So Geshe-la today is going to give the talk, and then we'll have a short break, and then Geshe-la is going to lead us in a meditation, which is really such a treat. And then there'll be time for question and answer at the end. And so if you want to ask your question in person, then I really invite you to do so. You can, turn your camera on and wave at me, and we'll figure it out. Or if you're too shy to ask your question in person, then you can write it into the chat at any time that you like, and I can ask on your behalf. It is nice if you feel comfortable, please do leave your camera on so that Geshe-la can see who he's teaching to, that he's not teaching into the void. That would be really lovely. So what we wanted to do to get started, Geshe-la, is to offer a mandala. So I'm going to actually get our screen share up because also how we like to start our all of our important events is an acknowledgement of country, paying respects to the Jagera and Turrbal people who are the traditional custodians on this land that the physical Lungri Tumba Centre resides, the base for our mandala. We pay our respects to all the elders of the past, the present and emerging, and with great gratitude and warmly welcome all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders to our centre, physically and virtually. Geshe-la, we'd really like to offer you a mandala. So, everybody, whatever form of mandala that you have, of course, the most important one is in our mind, but it's a way of really gathering up everything, all of our good-heartedness and our wishes and our hopes for ourselves and all sentient beings. And as a request to Geshe-la, because we so rarely get to be able to do this. So I'll sing the Tibetan, and those of you who want to join in, then you can say the English if you like. Probably don't have your video, the microphone on, or it'll jump all over the place. But mostly to really imagine as much as you can all of your good-heartedness and your concentration. Oh, Sajir Porkim, Choshin Metatram, Rirablen Sangyezhindu mite olwayi trokon So here's the mandala from all of us, Geshe-la.
So again, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see many of you from the distance some of you I've met before, and some of you, I think maybe I might not have met you before, but I'm glad to meet and have this opportunity to share share something on this particular topic. So I think normally I try to start with the motivation, but with the time and everything. Okay, I think maybe we can start with a bit of short motivations.
And Geshe-la, also, I have a little screen share of the verses if you want to, at some stage, if we go through and read them, okay. Then just let me know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. So just try to quiet your mind for a few moments. Maybe by watching your breath. Then we can try to think, reflect, contemplate. By us coming here together with a giving our precious time with good intentions, may it become cause and condition to cultivate compassion and wisdom within the heart of all sentient beings. And may it become cause and conditions to obtain fully awakened state, so we can be most and greatest help and benefit to oneself and all sentient beings. Everything that we do in our life, including eating, breathing, may all of that become cause and conditions for fully awakened state. Okay, so then maybe we can do the refuge in Bodhicitta prayers, maybe. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merit I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. Sangye chodang soge sonam la changjur bodhu tangne gyasa lagi choshe gibe sonam ke dola penje sangye choba sangye chodang soge sonam la changjur bodhu tangne choshe gibe sonam ke dola penje sangye choba. So today's topic, adversarial mind training, is one of very well-known practice and texts for training our mind. And it is the very root of many of the commentaries that many masters have written about mind training in the letters. And, you know, if we can actually practice even the bit of what is, even the 10% of what is taught, that will make huge difference in our life in terms of, you know, of course, not only about the enlightenment, even in our ordinary general life, you know, that could make huge difference in our attitude and the way we respond to situations, especially difficult situations, you know, because, you know, life is not always so easy, you know, that is the fact and reality, you know, as much as we want everything to become so easy in our life, but reality is that, you know, we continue to experience a lot of physical, environmental, emotional challenges, difficulties, time to time. So this practice will help us to give some tools to how to deal with those difficulties and challenges when we do face them, and how we can transform those difficult challenges, situation into something positive, something virtuous, transform them on the path. And so even though we might be experiencing physical, you know, difficulties, but emotionally we have the tool to deal with that so it doesn't become too overwhelming. And too overwhelming, because a lot of time when we encounter and face some of physical challenges, you know, whether or environmental challenges, then that affect our mind. And by affecting our mind, we suffer most through that mental state, more than the physical state. So if we can kind of able to have some tools to train our mind to deal with that, then, you know, we will be able to deal those difficult challenges much more easily, in a sense that without being so affecting negatively. And of course, also these teachings is, you know, those teachings and practice is the way to cultivate and develop our good heart, our loving kindness, compassion, the bodhicitta mind, as well as the wisdom that understand or realize the reality or ultimate truth. So it is a tools to for those of us who have not been able to cultivate that good heart, love, compassion, and the wisdom, to be able to help to develop that. Those who have already developed, to help them to improve, increase, become more stronger and stronger. So those teachings, so again, as we will see, as we go through the verses. Traditionally, you know, when any teaching is given, normally they talk about the biography or background of the author and the teaching itself, so that we have more stronger faith or confidence in the teaching itself, because of enlightened master and the teaching itself. But I don't think we have much time to go through that, you know. So basically, it is by one of the Tibetan masters. This verses itself, Gishilan Ritamba, one of the Katamba masters, you know, from Tibet. And at the very beginnings, you know, the teachings were kept more kind of quiet, in a sense they were passed orally, you know. They were not kind of written in the way it is written now, compiled, but they were more kind of taught and passed through more orally. And then Yishi Langri Thamba actually then wrote it and composed it in that. And then later, Gishi Chekawa wrote a commentary to this one, known as 7 points of mind training, as a commentary to the 8 verses of mind training. And through that, then it became more and more well-known, more and more popular and more common, and it became one of the main practice among the many different practitioners in the Tibet, different lineage, you know. It is interesting, Gishi Chekawa, you know, who wrote the 7 points of mind training commentary to this, he was visiting one friend at one time, and then on pamphlet he saw one verses, you know, where he says, "I offer all my victories to others, and I take all the loss to myself." He was fascinated by that when he saw that. You know, it really kind of shook his mind, because it is totally opposite of the way we think normally. You know, normally we want to take the victory for our side, and we want to give the lost to others. But he saw here verse that is opposite of that, you know, may I be able to offer all the victory to others, and may I be able to accept and take the loss to myself. So he was very fascinated, and he was very ingrained by that. And so he was trying to find more about that. And so as he found who wrote, he was trying to find who wrote this, who is the author of these teachings. And then, you know, it is said that someone told him that is Gishi Langri Thamba. So he went to see Gishi Langri Thamba in one particular part of Tibet temple. And then by the time Gishi Langri Thamba has already passed away, and he was kind of a little bit disappointed that he wouldn't meet the author, the master, and to receive the teaching directly from him. So then he tried to find out which other teachers have these oral transmissions and teachings, and who have been practicing. So then he heard, you know, Gishi Sharawa was at that time still alive, and he was one of the holder of these teachings. And then when he went to see the Gishi Sharawa, Kadamba Master Gishi Sharawa, he was giving a teaching. At that time, in that day, he was not teaching on lojongs, he was teaching on something else. And Gishi Chekawa got a little bit disappointed, because he wanted to hear about these teachings, but he didn't hear that, you know. And then later, he met, while Gishi Sharawa was going through the circumambulating, then he met them, and then immediately he put his robe, you know, and then put them and say, you know, please stay there and teach me, you know. And Gishi Sharawa was kind of taken away, you know, so, how is that, you know? So he said, then he explained his interest in that and his story, how it came. And he said, how come, you know, I came to your teaching today and you never mentioned about those teaching today? And Gishi Sharawa said, you know, even I teach those teachings, there aren't many people who really practice it, so there's no point of teaching it, because people doesn't practice anyway. That was his answer. But Gishi Chekawa said he is really interested in studying learning. And so he asked, what is the authentic source of those teachings? Where is the authentic? And then Gishi Sharawa said, you know, he went back to, Nagarjuna's, you know, in Nagarjuna's precious garland, then some of those teachings are there, you know. Even the verses that, may I offer the victory to others, may I take the loss on myself, even that is also in precious garland Nagarjuna's writing. So many of those lojong coming from Shantideva's writings, Nagarjuna's writings, and then some from the sanghas from those Indian masters. And if you go further, then you can find those teachings also in the sutra. It might not be in one sutra, but you will find some of the verses or the meaning of those verses, slightly different wording in the different sutras. So once Gishish Chagawa heard that, then he actually went home and then he checked, you know, precious garland, and he actually saw there, and it gave him more confidence in the teachings because it wasn't made up of one of the master there, but it has authentic sources. And so then he really requested him to teach, and then he studied under Gishi Sharawar 14 years, studying and practicing with him, and he became a great bodhisattva and practitioner and holder of this teaching himself. And that is when he wrote 7 Points of Mind Training. So just a little bit of background of stories of the, I think, and in terms of oral transmission, you know, I had a great opportunity, fortune to receive actually this oral transmission teaching from Lama Sobha Rinpoche in the Tibet at Gishi Langri Thamba's monastery. You know, so I feel very, very fortunate to be able to receive that in that place, Gishi Langri Thamba, his own monastery there. And of course, I've also received oral transmission from His Holiness and other teachers as well. So in terms of the transmissions, I do have the transmissions, even though I might not be the true holder as a practitioner, you know, but in terms of just the transmissions, then definitely I do have the transmission from that point, from that perspective. Okay, so, and it is the verses is only 8 verses, but it summarizes whole Buddha's teachings. It summarizes whole Buddha's teachings. Because all the Buddha's teachings were given to cult as a practice, as a meditations, as a tool to practice and to develop the loving kindness, compassion, awakened mind, of bodhicitta, the method path, and the wisdom. And through that two wings of wisdom of method, then to achieve our highest potential, the fully awakened state. And in those 8 verses, it covers both teaching on method and the wisdom. You know, the first 7 verses are related with the method part. And then the last one, the 8 verses, is related with the wisdom part. You know, so therefore, it's a short, but it kind of summarizes contents, all the Buddha's essence of the whole the Buddha's teachings, the very heart of all the Buddha's teaching, the core of the Buddha's teachings. So in that, then you know, it is extremely powerful if we can really apply them in our life. You know, it is not so easy sometimes to apply those teachings, but if we can apply, you know, they are extremely powerful. Okay, so so then maybe we can, if we can share the first verses of the 8 verses. So here, you know, determined to obtain the greatest possible benefit from all sentient beings who are more precious than the wish-fulfilling jewel, I shall hold them more, most dear at all time. I think there is slightly different. It is same thing, I think, sometimes. Another translation says, by thinking of all sentient beings as more precious than the wish-fulfilling jewel for accomplishing the highest aim, I will always hold them dear. So I think maybe first we will discuss on that. if we can feel through this meditation and practice, through these verses, you know, through meditating, reflecting, contemplating on these verses, to feel that each and every sentient being is most dear to us. If we can feel that most dear to us, then, you know, it will open our mind, our space, to feel love, compassion towards them easily. So this helps us to cultivate love, compassion, and bodhicitta mind. Is, you know, the more we feel kindness of them, through the feeling the kindness of them, we feel very close to them. We feel them very dear to us, or most dear to us. And when we feel so, everyone so dear, so close, so kind, then of course, it's not difficult to feel love, compassion towards them. And if we have compassion, great compassion, then, you know, it's easy to develop the bodhicitta mind. You know, and if we feel that everyone most kind, dear, precious, and very dear, then, you know, even sometimes they are not so nice, you know, sometimes because of their attitude, because of sometimes their attitude, because of sometimes their behavior, their actions, their view, you know, we can still listen and we can still discuss with a more open, kind-minded, without having to fight. To be able to listen the different view, to be able to listen different opinions, and all of that without really being too harsh on each other. Because while we might not agree with behavior, certain behavior, certain view, you know, certain attitude, certain actions, but at the same time, because we feel so close to them, so dear to us, so kind to us, so precious to us, that will give us, our mind, the ability to listen with open and more gentle and more kind. And when we are able to do that, then definitely we will have a much more better way, more constructive way to communicate. You know, and then we are able to really communicate better. So so in order to feel that, we have to meditate. We have to contemplate and meditate and feel that, you know. And to meditate, then here, you know, we can think of the kindness of the sentient beings. You know, they are more kind and more precious than wish-fulfilling jewels. Supposedly there is a wish-fulfilling jewel, whatever wishes you make, it fulfill in terms of comfort in this life, okay? You want a nice house on the beach, then it suddenly the nice house on the beach appears. You want the new Ferrari car in front of you and it suddenly show up in front of you, you know? So whatever wishes you make in terms of material things, in terms of something that can make us more comfort, give us comfort, so if there is something like that, wouldn't you hold very precious of that, very dear? You know? I will definitely, you know, if there's something like that, you know, I will hold very dearly, you know, hold very precious, you know, maybe even more precious than my own life. You know, sometimes, So you will hold and you cherish so much. You will cherish so much. So here, what the author is saying is, you know, compared to that, the sentient beings are even more precious than that wish-fulfilling jewels. Even more dear, even more kind. Why? From a spiritual point of view, you know, from a spiritual point of view, our highest spiritual goal is to achieve fully awakened state, fully enlightened state. Okay? Our spiritual highest goal is to achieve fully awakened, especially from a minor point of view, to achieve the ultimate happiness, you know, of fully enlightened, fully awakened state. And to achieve that, you know, we need to engage in the practice and progress through the five path, 10 bhumis, and achieve that, that state. And in order to enter the path, Mahayana path, and through the path, then engage into the 10 bhumis and so forth. First, we need to actualize the bodhicitta mind, the awakening of awakening bodhicitta mind, the mind, awakening mind of bodhicitta. In order to actualize that bodhicitta mind, one need to have great compassion. Without great compassion, there's no bodhicitta mind. In order for great compassion to be cultivated, we should develop compassion towards each and every sentient beings. If you miss one sentient being, then you cannot have great compassion. And if you don't have great compassion, you cannot have a bodhicitta mind. If you cannot have a bodhicitta mind, then we cannot enter the five path and 10 bhumi. And without that, there is no enlightenment, there is no fully awakened state. So therefore, achieving our highest spiritual goal depends on sentient beings. Not only depend on sentient beings, it depends on each and every sentient beings. If we miss one sentient beings, of course we can have compassion, but not great compassion. Great compassion meaning having compassion to each and every sentient being without any exclusion of one sentient being. It's easy for us to feel compassion for one individual. Certain individual, we can feel compassion. But to extend that to each and every sentient being is, you know, and so to have a great compassion, we need to be able to expand that compassion to each and every sentient being, embrace each and every sentient being, whether you like them or not, whether they are similar or not. Until we have that compassion to each and every sentient being, our compassion will not become great compassion. And without that becoming great compassion, we will not be able to develop bodhicitta mind. And so therefore, it is important to us to understand not only sentient beings, other sentient beings are kind, precious, dear, but to understand each and every sentient being is precious in that way, to fulfill our spiritual, highest spiritual goal. You know? So we have to be very aware of that, you know. Maybe here we have certain, you know, leaders, individuals, maybe also in there, you know, you have certain leaders, individuals that you find hard to have compassion, you know, all over the world, you know. But if we cannot have compassion with them, then we will not be able to develop bodhicitta mind and get compassion. Our compassion will be limited, would be limited compassions. to have unlimited great compassion, then we need to be able to have compassion on every. And so therefore, until we have compassion on that person, we will not have a great compassion and bodhicitta enlightenment. So therefore, that one person becomes so precious now to achieve your spiritual highest goal, isn't it? That one says, that one person that you have not been able to cultivate the compassion now become most precious, because now whether you are able to achieve great compassion or not is dependent on that person. And that depends on whether you will have bodhicitta or not. And that will depend on whether you be on both sides of a path or not. And that will depend on whether you will achieve enlightenment or not. So, because normally we do hear and we do see all sentient beings, other sentient beings are kind, precious, that, but we don't think each and every sentient being precious. Do you get it? But until we understand that, then, you know, there is no hope for great compassion. And to be able to practice and develop that. So therefore, as difficult as it is for to develop compassion on a certain individual, we have to try very hard. We have to try very hard. We cannot just ignore. Do you get it? We cannot just kind of give up or ignore because it's difficult. Because if you do that, then you lose the very heart of the bodhisattva's practice, and you will not have the great compassions. And without her, everything stops. You cannot grow all other realization that come through that. So from a spiritual point of view, you know, it becomes so important that each and every sentient being is so precious. And is more precious than wishful feeling jewels, because wishful feeling jewels, even though we talk about what it can provide, it cannot provide us inner peace. It cannot provide us, you know, high rebirth. It cannot provide us happiness of liberations. It cannot provide us happiness of fully enlightenment. But by depending on other sentient beings, we can achieve all of those happiness, all different levels of happiness. By depending on other sentient beings, we can achieve comfort of this life, physical comfort. We can achieve inner joy, mental peace. By depending on others, we can achieve, you know, better and higher rebirth in the futures. By depending on others, we can achieve individual liberation, nirvana. By depending on others, we can achieve fully enlightened state. And so therefore, the other sentient beings, you know, provide directly, indirectly, they are the cause of all our different level of happiness. From temporary happiness to ultimate happiness. And therefore, they become more precious than wishful feeling jewel. They become more precious than wishful feeling jewel, and therefore we should regard them most dear to our heart. Most dear to our heart. So therefore, we try to practice to feel that most dear to our heart. And as we said, you know, just as we will, you know, hold so precious, so cherish so much the wish-fulfilling jewel, we should cherish even more all sentient beings, each and every sentient beings more. Because each and every sentient beings is able to provide or directly, indirectly help us by depending on them to achieve temporary and ultimate happiness. Even the wish-fulfilling jewel cannot grant. And so therefore, we should cherish them even more than wish-fulfilling jewel, we should hold them more precious than the whispering jewel. We should hold most dear to our heart than which fulfilling jewel, you know. We should hold very closely to them than which fulfilling jewels. You know? And not only, you know, not only from the spiritual point of view to achieve the high spiritual goal, you know, even all of the comfort that we enjoy in this life, you know, physical comfort, whatever comfort, happiness, it all comes through others. Without others, you know, this very technology that allow us to communicate now comes through others. I didn't create this technology, you know. So many people have put so much effort, money, resources, their knowledge, wisdom over many centuries to develop better and better. And then they came out with this technology that allow us to convenience and allow us to communicate from one different continent to another continent. And we are experiencing the benefit of this technology. And the benefit that we are experiencing is coming through the others. If they have not created that, we will not enjoy this benefit. We will not have access to this. You know? And same thing, you know, I'm using the light so you can see me and also yourself. Again, I didn't create the light, you know, over so many decades, centuries, you know. People have invested their knowledge, their wisdom, their time, their money. And now we are enjoying all of that. In this cold weather, I'm able to turn on the heat. In your hot place, you are able to turn on the air conditions. And we get all this, enjoy all this comfort. Make our life a little bit more kind of physically, a little bit more easier to our body. And that benefit comes through others, you know. But now we can say, you know, but how can you say that is kindness of them, you know? Do you get it? We can say, you know, I understand. Definitely, they created it and I'm getting the benefit from them and I'm getting all these benefits. But I pay for it, you know. They didn't give me free, you know. So how can they be kind? Because that kind of thought can arise when you are meditating, you know. When you're trying to meditate kindness of others in that way, a thought can arise. Oh, you know, I can see I'm enjoying the benefit from that, but how can that be kindness? I'm paying money and you know, they are charging me, you know, and some of them, they created all these things to make themselves money. So how can that be? So why should I feel kindness? Why should I cherish them? Because they have no intention, motivation to help me by doing that. Well, you know, let's take examples, okay, of the technology itself, the computer itself, okay? The computer has no intention to benefit me and help me. Does the computer have that, you know? The thoughts to help and benefit me, it doesn't have. But because I get benefit from this, I cherish it. I hold it very dearly. I hold it as precious. This is precious for me. It becomes precious. I hold it precious. I hold it dear and cherish it. Why? Whether it has intention or not, but is helping and benefiting me. That is the only reason. If that's the case, whether the sentient beings have the intention to help you or not help you, because you get the benefit from them and their actions or their whatever creations. And because we can achieve enlightenment by depending on them, therefore we should cherish them, hold them dear, and hold them precious. Isn't it? So I think that my alum say it's the time to stop going too much blah blah blah, you know. So we'll have 5 minutes break. If you need to take whatever, use restroom or need to get a coffee, whatever. So we have 5 minutes break and then we'll come. Okay, so I hope everyone's back.
Yes, I think so, Geshe-la.
Mm-hmm.
We're very much enjoying your teachings. In fact, some of us have even figured out how to cast your teachings onto our television at home. So you're right there in our lounge room, which is fantastic. And I really must say that it really has become so much more clearer to me now about how we receive the benefit, whether, you know, the technology intends to benefit us or not, or the sentient beings intend to benefit. I certainly guard my technology like a treasure. So that's really hit home. Thank you so much, Geshe-la. So Jen Compton has a question.
Can we do the cautions after the meditations?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yep. Okie dokie. Yep.
At least we can have few moments to sit quiet and reflect a little bit. Because once we start cautions, the time can sometimes pass very quickly and we might not have time. So just try to, again, quiet your mind by watching the breath for a few moments. Then we can try to generate a good intention, motivation by thinking, by engaging this meditation, may it become cause and condition to develop realizations how each and every sentient being is so precious and dear. How each and every sentient being more precious than wish fulfilling joy. And having actualized that understanding, realization, may we be able to actualize loving kindness, compassion, bodhicitta mind, and gradually achieve fully enlightened state for the benefit of all sentient beings. So now, as we already discussed during the talk, try to feel, try to reflect, contemplate how much benefit we get from all sentient beings in our everyday life, 24 hours. How we are experiencing the result of hard work of so many beings. Everything that we enjoy in our life from morning up to now. The coffee we have, the tea we have, the food we have, how we are able to enjoy them because so many beings have worked to create that, provide that us for to us. And imagine how it would be if there's no farmer growing the tea and the coffee, or if there's no machines to grind and make coffee and tea. And same with all the different food that we enjoy. And all the clothes that we wear in summer, winter, four seasons, how we get the benefit again through the creations and hard work of so many sentient beings who made that. What it would be like to manage ourselves without them, to make our own clothes. Then the benefit that we get from the shelter to protect us from hot, heat, and coldness. Again, we experience the benefit from all who created the shelter, the house, and the raw materials that need to build that house. All different raw materials and parts of that. And what it would be like if we have to make our own house, everything by ourselves. We have to make our own nail. We have to make our own wood. Everything by ourselves, what it would be like. And the, whether it's public transportation or whether it's our own car, again, that make our life much more convenient, easier to do our things. The benefit we enjoy, again, is a creation of other people's. It's a lot of hard work, planning, investment, wisdom, knowledge that created and the benefit that we get now. And the technology that we have allow us to, again, whether it's phone, whether it's a computer, that allow us to communicate talk with our friends, families, do our job. We are able to do all of that because so many people who so much hardship and invested so much time, energy, other resources, and created that so that now we are experiencing. The benefit of that. So every comfort and joy, enjoyment that we experience in our life is come through the contributions and of others, directly, indirectly, or through the creation of others, hard work of others, investment of others. And whether they have the intention to help benefit us or not, it doesn't matter, because we get the maximum benefit from all of that, make our life more convenient, easier, comfortable, therefore they are precious and dear. So try to feel preciousness of each, all other sentient beings. Dearness of all sentient beings for providing that. Making our life much more easier and comfortable. And especially when it comes to our spiritual, actualizing our spiritual ultimate goal, then we are very much dependent on each and every sentient beings. There is no fully enlightenment without the bodhicitta mind. And there is no bodhicitta mind without the great compassions. And there's no great compassion without depending on, without cultivating compassion on each and every sentient beings. Therefore, each and every, we have to depend on each and every sentient beings to cultivate the great compassion. So therefore, only through by depending on each and every sentient being, we can develop great compassion. Only through great compassion, we can develop bodhicitta mind. Only through the bodhicitta mind, we can enter the bodhisattva path. And only through engaging bodhisattva path of five paths and 10 bhumis, we can achieve enlightenment. Our high spiritual aim, goal. So try to feel the preciousness of each and every sentient beings for that, from that perspective, for that purpose. Try to feel the kindness of them, whether they have the intention or not, from the point of view that we get benefit from them. And try to feel the preciousness of even those that we have conflict, even those we don't agree with. Because without having compassion for them, there's no great compassion. So we are very much dependent on them in order to develop great compassion. From that perspective, they become very precious. Very dear in actualizing our spiritual aim, highest spiritual aim. Very kind. So by reflecting, contemplating, thinking in that way again and again, try to feel closeness, dearness with each and every sentient being, preciousness, kindness. Not only those who are helping us directly, not only are they precious, kind, dear, close, but even those who are not helping directly, but they are equally precious, kind, and dear. Because we get benefit from all of them, sometimes even more from them than our close ones. Once you are able to feel a little bit of preciousness, dearness, kindness. Try to hold on that feeling as much as possible. And once our feeling of feeling that very precious, dear, kind started to feel not strong, weak, then again we try to reflect, contemplate why they are so precious, kind. By again reflecting, contemplating how much all the benefits, happiness, comfort that we get from them on physical level, on emotional level, on a spiritual level. How all of them depend on others. So again, having reflected, contemplated on that, again, once you feel a little bit of whatever feeling of preciousness, kindness, dearness, again, try to hold that. Then we can dedicate all the whatever virtues that we might have created through the meditations, the practice. May one self and all sentient beings be able to develop the realizations of understanding, realizing how each and every sentient being is more precious than wishful feeling. How each and every sentient being is most dear, most kind. And to be able to cultivate loving kindness, compassion, bodhicitta mind on the basis of that foundations. As well as the wisdom. Due to these virtues that were created, may once and all sentient beings be able to actualize fully enlightened state as soon as possible for benefit of all sentient beings. Then you can slowly bring back your attention to the breath. You can slowly open your eyes. Okay, I think
Geshe, we've got about three questions so far.
Yes, please.
So thank you so much, and it is really such a treat to have you here, Geshe. Just before COVID hit, you were due to come to Australia to tour, and then and then we heard that you yourself got COVID, and we said many prayers here, and I really hope that you've had a full recovery. And my question is about, you know, when we are sick or really tired and have very few emotional or resources and can't intellectually remember the teachings, how can we make sure that we get on the right track and instead of go down, remember this kindness of others, you know, when we're really low on inner resources?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when we are healthy and when we have more energy, of course we have more energy to study, practice, and through that we have more resource to the tools. But when we are low, then I think we have to just try to meditate on some of the very simple and easy ones, you know, and so that way you keep alive the fire. Even the fire is not big, but still you stop from it dying. You still continue to give a little bit of fuels. And so, you know, sometimes, and to do that, I think sometimes it is important to have a daily some practice, you know, whatever that form of practice might be. For different people, they might practice differently, you know. But I think we should have one practice that someone that you are very familiar with, that you have practiced all the time. And so because of that, even when you are tired, even when you don't have much energy, you can still practice because it doesn't require a lot of effort because you are so familiar with that practice. Because you are so used to that, you are so familiar with that practice, it doesn't require much effort. Mm-hmm. And since it doesn't require much effort, then even you are weak and tired, it doesn't take your energies. And therefore, you can still continue to the practice. And even though you might not be able to practice as much as normally you will do, but still you keep the fire alive, the practice alive. And once we recover our energy, then again, we can continue to practice more harder, more and that, you know. So I think that is one way of keeping it alive. And I think that is very important. I think from that point of view, like when you are sick, when you are tired, when your energy, you know, sometimes we don't have any. And so, but if you have some practice that doesn't require so much effort, because you have practiced so much, it becomes so easy without much effort. And then you can still practice that. And also one of the things that I kind of notice, you know, sometimes as we get older, and if we live old enough, and if we get older, sometimes, you know, sometimes nowadays, you know, such as dementia, you know, is one of the problems. Not everyone has, but sometimes that comes as well for some individuals. And then, you know, they have difficulty with, if you try to teach them some practice, they will not be able to, they will forget immediately, you know, they will not be able to remember. But if we have practiced something before we have those kind of sickness before, then even when you have dementia, you can still remember those practices that you have done in the past. Even though you don't remember immediate things, you know, you have conversation and you forget about that conversation, someone came to meet you, but still you have access to the old memories and old practice. And so therefore also in that cases, you can also continue to practice. And that is what I've observed. At least with one of the monks in South India, you know, at least with one, you know, he lived, you know, after 92, you know, and last couple of years, you know, he's, I think there is some symptom of a little bit of dementia, you know, not bad, but still, and he will ask same question again and again, you know, because he forgets and those things. But he has access to all the his practice and teachings, you know. You ask him about some Dharma questions, some philosophical, you know, he can just tell all these things. And because of, and so I think that is another why we need to have a daily particular one practice that we focus on.
Thank you so much, Geshe-la. Then Jen, you have a question. I've just asked you to unmute. Yep, go for it.
Hi, Geshe Sherab. I'm Jen.
Hi.
I've got a question. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's a question a bit along the lines of Miffy's, only I guess it's a bit more extreme. While we were doing the meditation, I had images in my mind of maybe a woman in Afghanistan who's had everything she holds dear to her taken away. At least that's how it appears. Do you know of anyone or have you ever used these mind training teachings in very extreme situations where it's very hard to see, you know, your current government or the people who have control over your life as precious and kind because they're taking everything away from you that seems to that you hold dear and that you think makes you happy. Uh-huh. So just wondering, if you could answer that one for me and how do you think someone like that would behave if they did have the mind training? Do they go out on the street and do they protest and do they say, hey, this isn't right, and practice the mind training privately? Or, yeah, how do you see that?
First of all, I think, you know, one way of looking at those situations is, you know, everyone has different opinions. Sometimes, even though we have the best intentions, okay, let's say it's different political party, different ideology system that is in the world. Sometimes those are the founder of those ideology, those political system, they have the best intention to serve. Maybe not everyone, but some of them has the best intention to serve, but their path to do that might not be, you know, the approach might be different, you know. For some, they think this approach is better. For some others, they think this approach. And so, you know, if I believe in certain approach, then I will have a resistance to the other approach because I believe it's going the wrong directions. But from their point of view, they think I am in the wrong directions, you know. So sometimes, even the best intentions, sometimes people have the best intention, but maybe their approach might not be the best one, you know, because sometimes even we have the best intention, sometimes we don't have the right skill and the wisdom. And so sometimes that, and so it doesn't mean always necessarily that those people have always bad intentions for general for the country itself and the citizen of the countries, you know. Even for example, you know, like His Holiness Dalai Lama always shared, you know, Mao Zedong, you know, at the very beginning, he has a good intentions. And he was fighting for those who are less, you know, the poor ones, for fighting for the right of the poor ones. So he has the really good intentions, and His Holiness always says, you know, he even thought of joining the communists, you know, he wanted to be a part of that party, you know, one time. But of course, later Mao Zedong got, like many other leaders and ourselves sometimes, you know, temptations. Once you have power, then you get temptations, and then you are corrupted by the powers, money, everything, you know. But at the very beginning, he has the best, it seems he has the best intention. He wants to do something good, you know. And so sometimes we never know what their intentions are. That is the one thing, you know, whether we agree with their actions or not, but maybe sometimes they might have the best intentions. And so from that point of view, I think sometimes we give a little bit of benefit of doubt. Okay, I might not agree with their behavior or their action or their policy. Maybe who knows, they might have the best intentions to serve the countries. And because I cannot read their mind, so I cannot really say what their intention is. So I think the moment I give that benefit, maybe they could have a good intentions, even though maybe the policy or the this, then I can, I do not have to be so much, I do not have so much anger and hatred for them, because I, even though I don't agree with their policies, but I can see, you know, because there's lack of wisdom, but they have the good intentions. And so that sometime through that, it can help our minds to have less anger, less ill will feelings in that way, you know. So that is one way of thinking. And then, you know, as more verses will come with the 8 verses mind training, then we can see, you know, by seeing, even if they are acting with bad intentions and in a bad ways, still they do that because they want to do that, but because their mind is being controlled by their own delusions. Either it could be anger, it could be ignorance, it could be, you know, attachment to power, you know, greediness for power, money, whatever, you know, any of those delusions overpower them, and then they become someone else. And so therefore, to feel compassion because they are powerless themselves. Their mind is being totally powered by another force. That's the delusional force. And so therefore, even though you don't agree with them, but at the same time, you see they are powerless with their own mind. And through that, then maybe again, one can feel a little bit of compassion, maybe possibly, or at least we don't have so much anger, because sometimes we feel that they have total control and they decide to that way. Do you get it? As though that they have total control on their mind and still they decided to hurt and harm others. But that is not the case. We can see with our own experience. Generally, I don't want to hurt my friends, my families, or others. But sometimes I hurt them. Because in the moment, sometimes I become frustrated. In the moment, I become impatient. In the moment, I become angry. In that moment, I hurt bad people I don't want to hurt. And why I hurt the bad people that I don't want to hurt? Because in that moment, I lose my mind. Some other force took over my mind, and that is the delusion. The delusion, the force took over my mind. So I become helpless in that moment, which I regret later, which sometimes I feel very embarrassed about that later. But in that moment, I did that. And because of my mind was overpowered by one of those delusions. And so if you see that, then you can see they are powerless in that way. So maybe we can feel a little bit of compassion instead of anger. So that will be another way of that you can see with as next verse comes, some of the verse comes and 8 verse of mind training, there is a little bit of that, you know. So one can think about that. And of course, then we can think of karma as well, you know. There's lot of contributions from many, you know, it's not only when you talk about karma, sometimes it's a little bit complicating, you know, complex. As well, it feels like that we are blaming the victim. Do you get it? Sometimes it feels like we are blaming the victim. It's not the case. Of course, the perpetrator has a responsibility because they create the cause and condition, but also the other one has some also karmic seed to experience, and then with certain condition, then it happened, you know. And from that point of view, I think, again, sometimes maybe we don't 100% totally blame others. Of course, they are contributing. There's no doubt about that. So through that, maybe, I don't know, maybe it might be able to. I think it is much more harder when we talk about someone else. I think it is because it becomes much more complicating, you know. I think, but when it happens to ourselves, we can think from a karmic point of view. I think maybe that might be helpful. So anyway, so that is the few other things that we can think about from those teachings, Lojong point of view. And then in terms of your other questions, should we do practice quietly or should we be in the street protesting and that, you know, it depends on individuals, you know. I think as long as you don't have so much anger and hatred and ill will feeling and you are fighting for injustice done to others, then, you know, and if that helps, then definitely we should engage in that, you know. Whatever petitions that we put, pressure our government to change, pressure the others' government from our governments, and protest, whatever, you know, way that we can contribute towards the change of the situations. If there is any way that we try to contribute. But the most important part is that we shouldn't have so much anger and hatred and ill will feeling. If you don't have that, then protesting is not bad. You know, being street protesting is not bad. But even if you are fighting for injustice, for a good cause, but if you are filled with anger and hatred, then I don't know whether that's the right, you know. That often lead to another stream. Eventually, it leads to another stream. That is what happened in Mao Zedong too, you know. At the very beginning, he has the good intentions to serve the poor ones. But later, when he was kind of consumed by his, you know, greediness for his power and all of that, and then anyone who opposed him, he get angry with that, upset with that. And then he started to go the other extreme and then destroying the very people he wanted to serve to begin with. And that is when we have so much anger and hatred, ill feeling, then even we want to do something good, then it can turn out bad. But if you don't have that, then definitely, you know, I think engaging in that is definitely, that is how it changed the world, you know. They change the world, change the situation, because sometimes we have to put pressure and sometimes we have to protest and put pressure to those who make policies to bring the changes. But it has to be, if possible, with compassion for the perpetrators. But even if we don't have compassion, at least without so much anger, hatred, and hateful feelings and evil feelings. So, yeah.
Thank you.
So last questions, yeah?
So Geshe-la, actually, you've answered the last two questions were about, did we have to like people to have great compassion for them, or how do we actually remember to hold others dear and precious when they act really badly or they're not professional, you know, all of those things. But I think you have actually answered everyone's questions already. So,
So then we do the dedications, I guess.
Yeah. So once again, we can, I'd like to be able to offer a short mandala to you, Geshe-la, I can ask you to do the dedication for us, but we can do this Thanksgiving mandala everybody, we can do in the English. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. And may my Venerable Lama's life be firm, his white divine action spread in the 10 directions. May the torch of the teachings of Losang always remain, dispelling the darkness of all beings in the three realms. Idam Guru Rana Madala Kamniya Tayami. So thank you on behalf of everybody, Geshe-la, thank you so much for your incredibly kind wisdom and very, very timely.
So then we dedicate all our virtues to achieve fully enlightenment. For the benefit of all sentient beings. Do you have the dedication prayers?
Otherwise, we can
just do that.
I just have this one.
Okay, yeah. So before we do that, then we do that. Gyawadi Nyududa Lama Sangye Dukyone Dwa Chijamalipa Teresa Lakweva Sho. Then we do this, maybe we can do in English. May the Supreme Jewel Bodhisattva, not yet born, arise and grow. May that which is born not have no decline, but increase more and more. So then we also dedicate for the long life of his own Dalai Lama, Kepi Lama Savarambose, all the gurus. Kandri Rave Gore Shengam, Dependa Deva Mali Chungan, Chere Sengwa Pente Gata, Shabe Siddhe Padu, thank you. Tupzu Changshi Jamgan Gyawe, Tengyong Bewe Kungzat. Thank you, everyone. Good morning. So you have a good day, good weekend, good weekend.
Thank you so much, Geshe-la, and I'm really looking forward to next week. And everybody, very much hoping you'll all be able to make it along next week at the same time and same place. So take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Thank you.